three Thai nationals and a Russian to the Red Cross. Israel's defense forces have confirmed a transfer is taking place. Further Palestinian prisoners are also set to be released on day three of the pause in fighting. There's been a minute's applause before Tottenham's Premier League game at home to Aston Villa in memory of the club's former manager, Terry Venables. He's died at the age of 80. Live to Guy Swindles at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
It was a very moving tribute to a man much loved here, both as a player and as a manager, as he led them to the FA Cup in 1991. And he'd have enjoyed the match, but not the result that's happened since. Lo Celso giving Spurs the lead, Pau equalising for Villa just before the break, and then Ollie Watkins scoring what looks like the winner. Spurs 1, Villa 2.
David Beckham describes Venables as one of our greatest England managers and loved by players and fans. Former England goalkeeper David Seaman has said, great man, great loss. Elsewhere, English Defence League founder Tommy Robinson has been arrested ahead of a protest in London against anti-Semitism. The Metropolitan Police say he was asked to leave the area but refused to do so. Stephen Silverman, who helped organise the march, says he didn't want the far-right leader anywhere near it.
This march is about tolerance, it's about inclusion, it's about kindness. Anyone who wants to use it in order to exploit hate or sow division is not welcome.
In sport, the F1 result is on the way shortly, but first, in the Scottish Premiership, Aberdeen conceded a stoppage time penalty in a 1-1 draw at home to Rangers, and world champion Max Verstappen ended the most dominant season in Formula One history with victory in the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. That's the latest. I'm Victoria Lawrence.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Tonight is going to be a cloudy night with long periods of occasionally heavy rain. The temperature is going to be a little bit less cold tonight with a minimum temperature of 3 degrees. Moving in tomorrow, it's going to be remaining cloudy throughout Monday with persistent rain. Showers arriving later, maximum temperature 6 degrees.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit SEHBAC.com for help with your home.
And welcome to the arts programme on Phoenix FM. Claire's in Malta this week, so you have unfortunately have the gift of me. And this week we're stepping closer to Christmas, and we've got a special show to get you warmed up. Whether you have a tree up already or not, there's never a better time to start watching Christmas films.
I beg to differ when it comes to Christmas in July. However, as Spencer says, it's probably a good way to get into Christmas if you are into that kind of thing. And between us, I believe we have watched every single Christmas film ever made. We'll also have a filmy playlist too with music from the films and much more.
So, let's get on with the show. My name is Spencer and this is Natalie and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Everyone must play their part. Well, if that's true, I'll act with all my heart. I'll take my cue to go stand 'neath the spotlight's glow and give them one hell of a show.
Shepherd, you're so wrong, you don't have a clue. A purge on this species is long overdue. All humanity's broken, our story is done. As the scent catches fire, might as well have some fun. So raise the curtain, hear the light, strike up the band for the final night. hard to hear sometimes.
You've been losing your mind and it's sad, man.
Now I finally see where I once was blind, and I have never felt so much bliss.
Oh, how can you take pleasure in this?
It's been said the world's a stage, and everyone must play their part. If that's true, I'll act with all my heart. The spotlight's glow, and give them one hell of a show. Raise the curtain, hit the light, strike up the fan for the final night. And if it is my time to go, I won't waste no moment, time, no. I'll give them.
And that was Give Them a Show from Anna and the Apocalypse, obviously chosen by Charlotte. And she said that that was the more upbeat version of a Christmas song from that. It's obviously from the motion soundtrack of Anna and the Apocalypse, which is a 2017 British Christmas zombie musical film directed by John McPhail, which features a cast of mostly unknown actors. But when the zombie apocalypse hits the sleepy town of Little Haven the day after the school Christmas show, teenager Anna and her high school friends have to fight to survive the undead horde as they desperately try to reach their loved ones. Oh. Have you seen that film, Spencer?
Not only have I seen it, you've seen it.
I don't remember, but I presume it is good. Oh, actually, the main actor, he's someone, isn't he?
She. The main
actress.
Wasn't
there a zombie in it?
I can't remember.
A
zombie
man.
We watched it during lockdown. Yeah. We watched it Christmas 2020, I believe.
Yeah, no, if it's the film that I'm thinking of, the actor is not completely unknown, the main zombie. She falls in love with a zombie, right?
I can't remember. I really can't remember. It didn't register because it's a musical. These things struggle to stay on my mind. You know, I'm only really a fan. I quite enjoyed La La Land.
Yeah.
And I like the classic musicals, but like more modern musicals that just don't stay with me because I wasn't born
in that age
period.
Well, that's an excuse to watch it again, Spencer.
I'd sooner not.
I just find that no films stick with me whatsoever, which is why I can't even remember what happens or whether or not I've watched it. But anyway, what have you been up to this week?
Well, what have I been up to? Other than man flu,
well, the terrible,
which has
terrible
dominated
man
my
flu.
Last 2 weeks.
Dominated your last 2 weeks. Think about the rest of us.
So, well, fingers crossed you've got it now, so now you can experience it from my side.
Yeah, apologies to all for the coughing that will appear throughout the show.
But yes, what have I been up to? Well, it's more like what have we been up to this week, because on Friday we went to the Getty Archive, didn't we?
Yeah, that which was fun. Doesn't sound as exciting as it actually was. So the Getty Archive is a huge factory building just off Star Lane in East London. It's actually in Unit 6, which kind of implies how industrial it is. But yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, it's not, you know, despite the fact that Natalie's told you where it is, it's not open to the public. You have to go there via invitation, and that's normally dealt with through Getty. We went with Gary Hunter, didn't we?
Who's yeah.
doing some work with them and looking. He's managed to raise some money, and he's looking to put in some apprentices into the Getty Archive to restore some specific works. Mm. Specific photographic works from the area where the Tommy Flowers pub is, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's the Tommy Flowers Foundation that's won this fund through the National Lottery Heritage Fund. So Gary's been working on a programme, which I think we've spoken about before, where he's been doing a lot of artwork based around industrial processes and engineering and how that meets creativity. So some of the glass blowing that's been happening in Havering has been funded by the Tommy Flowers Foundation. And for those of you who don't know who Tommy Flowers is, he was part of the team that worked at Bletchley House, responsible for things like the Enigma machine. So kind of big creative ideas that were engineered into kind of life-saving machines during the Second World War. So very cool guy. And the Tommy Flowers pub is in Aberfeldy, and it's named after him. But it's also in an old flower shop, so that's also quite cool and quirky.
But yeah, real experience, wasn't it? Because, you know, normally the only people that get to open up the Getty Archive are, you know, the big galleries or people that are doing publications and things like that. So
yeah, they were talking about a Man Ray image, weren't they? Was it Man Ray who they'd lent one of the images to the Met Museum? And then there was a
the Man Ray image that they showed us was they believe it. They didn't tell us how much it was, but they believe it was the most expensive image that they held, and it was of a woman who basically travelled across and kind of defrauded, not defraud them because didn't take any money, but basically was blagging their way across Europe, weren't they, saying that they were important film people?
Yeah, yeah. So they were getting the likes of Salvador Dali and Man Ray to feature these people in films and to talk about them, and they were saying that they were big American movie stars when actually... No, sorry, big Russian movie stars, when actually they were on the run from Poland from the Second World War. So, yeah, interesting story. I'd like to know more about that, actually, and all of the artists that were involved, because the archive kind of dipped into it but didn't tell us any more. One thing that they did mention, although it's not open to the public, the lead curator there was saying that they're looking for more people who are doing PhD research in visual aesthetics, and companies that are doing research to get in touch, because they do have private tours and they are happy to talk and show people their work. But as Spencer said, it needs to be by invite because of the historic nature. I really enjoyed during the tour, my favourite part was going into the restoration room. So there's a lady who works there who literally just restores photos all day, every day. But she's kind of got this crazy science lab where she does experiments on other old photos to see what will happen before she starts putting chemicals on the Getty Archive images.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really interesting. Really, really quite fascinating. But it was also quite fascinating the things that turn up in there. Because people donate their collections, which often include their camera collection. So there was a few spots on the on the racks of like someone's collection of cameras from sort of like the 1800s into the early 1900s, which I thought was fascinating.
And we're also given a little talk on the Post. Is that the magazine, the Post?
Yeah,
where Picture basically Post. Where the archive was founded. So the Picture Post was a magazine that was kind of the first magazine that included photojournalism as an art form. So, yeah, it was all really cool. So if you ever get the chance to visit the Getty Archive, definitely recommend. We were there for just over 2 hours and probably could have spent another 3-4 in there.
It would have been great to have just walked around and just opened up the boxes of everything that you saw.
Yeah, imagine working there. You could do that.
There was one, I mean, she did point out that it was fake news, but there was one file that I really wanted to look into, and it said Hitler's body.
But they were saying that, weren't they? In terms of photo editing, it's been around since photography has existed, and they showed us a picture of a man that somebody had taken in like the late 1800s where somebody had drawn his eyebrows on, because he obviously didn't have any eyebrows. So, yeah, all good fun. And Also, what other things we did? So today, I've just come back from Romford. So at Premier Cinemas today, there is the Eurasian Creative Guild Creative Week. So we've spoken about the Eurasian Creative Guild quite a lot on the show. And they are showing a film called The Odessa Notebook by a director called Anatoly Balchev, who is actually in the UK. He's flown over specifically for the Creative Week, and a film called The Pilot, which is it's called The Pilot, A Battle of Survival. And then there's a presentation by a young fashion designer, Lal Avagay Bayeva, who is the youngest professional fashion designer on the international stage from Kazakhstan. So that's the beginning of the festival. So unfortunately you have missed the films today because they're on right now. But there are a couple more days if you want to go and find out more about Central Asian creative endeavours. So tomorrow at the POSC Centre in King Street in London, you can get there at 5 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Tuesday at Fitzroy House, and you'll be able to enjoy some Uzbek bands, some Central Asian poetry, and many more cultural experiences from Central Asian region. And you can contact Anna for more information about that. So that is Lari at ocamagazine.com, and you can kind of book yourself into those sessions. And going back to the films, if you do want to see a film by Anatoly Balchev, who is in the UK at the moment, there is another screening. It's not the same film. It's called A Passenger from San Francisco, and it's screening at the W Hotel in Piccadilly on the 30th of November, and then that's at 7 p.m. Also email Anna at Lari at ocamagazine.com if you want some more information about that. She'll be happy to share some info. Where did you go yesterday, Spencer?
I went to Darkfest.
How was Darkfest?
Darkfest was good. So this is run by Alan Bryce, who I interviewed on the show last year. And so he is the creator of Darkside magazine. And basically, it was just a gathering of classic horror actors.
Actors.
In Genesis in Mile End. So yeah, that was quite fun. Lots of interesting people there. Caroline Munro, Pauline Pierre, who came to Romford earlier this year, but then people like Lynette Quigley from Return of the Living Dead.
And they showed the Return of the Living Dead, didn't they?
They did,
at the end
yeah.
of the evening.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of Linda Hayden, who was a huge actress in the 70s and 80s, made a lot of controversial films. She was there. Nice to see her in the flesh. Yeah, Maddie Smith, you know, the usual crowd. But and of course, the McG, David McGillivray, who came to Romford three or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, that's nice. So you got to hang out with all of these people that have been to Romford as well.
You went skating this week, didn't you?
I went ice skating. Yeah, this is less of a cultural endeavour unless you're into grime and teenagers on a Friday night. So we booked ourselves in on skating after school, which was from 3:30 to 5:30. And it was like the proper school disco ice skating that you may have visited when you were 14. But yeah, it was just really fun. I think going ice skating in December, just before Christmas, kind of puts you in a good mood for the winter. I really enjoyed myself. And then we went for Greek food afterwards, which was very delicious. And then we drank quite a lot, which was also enjoyable.
Mm.
And I didn't fall over once, I'm just saying. Other people did fall over and really hurt themselves, but I was not one of those people, so it was all fine. Charlotte Bayes joined us, but she didn't join us for the ice skating because she said that she would prefer not to hurt herself. Very, very sensible. And after ice skating, because I've had quite a mild weekend, I then sat and did some drawing for the majority of the day yesterday. So for those of you who are visiting Snow's Christmas boutique, no, that's not what it's called, Snow's Stocking Filler Fair, which is at the Mercury on the 9th of December, you should be able to pick up some drawing based cards of mine. That's what I was doing that for. So this year. I've never made Christmas cards before with my Copic ink drawings, but I thought I would go for a little Scandinavian selection of imagery of some places that we've been before.
Cool.
For fun.
You also escaped this week, didn't you?
Also escaped. Oh, yeah, we really need to talk about this, but maybe we'll talk about it a bit later when we're talking about Mercury events, because we need to talk a lot about that because it's really, really good. But finally, we obviously watched the Doctor Who special yesterday because it was the big 6-0.
It was, yeah. 60 years.
Yeah, I've not even been alive that long.
You've definitely not been alive 60 years. I've not even been alive 60 years.
I know,
years.
That's how long it is. It's been running.
But yeah, so last night, Doctor Who returned to form with The Star Beast, which saw David Tennant and Catherine Tate reprise their roles of the Doctor and Donna. And overnight figures are reporting that 5.6 million households tuned in live to watch the programme, which, although not as high as the figures used to be, our television has fragmentised quite considerably over the years, so that's a pretty good opener. That doesn't include people.
For a live viewing, yeah.
That doesn't include people like us who watch it on iPlayer later on.
Yeah.
In the evening.
I think it's massive. It's massive to see David Tennant and Catherine Tate as well.
And you immediately the programme started. It was exactly as it was back in 2006.
Yeah. Wholesome and fun.
Yeah. It's returned to
Miriam Margolyes as well.
Yeah,
you know, wholesome and fun.
It's back. It's back in the format that I think most people will enjoy. The stories are not going to be too complicated, according to Russell T. Davis. Next week's episode is called "The Wide Blue Yonder," which is the most secretive and scariest story in the history of the show. But if you're waiting for the return of classic characters, my money is going to be on the December the 9th episode called The Giggle, which will also see the return of the Celestial Toymaker, last seen in 1965. I think you can safely be prepared for a number of other Doctors or companions, and most likely the return of the Doctor's first ever companion, Susan, who was his granddaughter.
Hmm. Very interesting. You know what I also enjoyed watching this week? I can't remember what it's called. The kind of the docudrama about the first
Adventures
Doctor.
Time and Space.
Yeah. I was reading a little article about that today as well, because if you haven't seen it, it was released previously. But there are some elements of it that were cut from the first docudrama because of copyright. So for the same reasons as you can't see the first four episodes of Doctor Who that were created, because the copyright of them are with somebody else. And obviously they've replaced Matt Smith with
Shuti Gatwa,
yeah, as well. So that was quite nice. But yeah, if you get a chance to watch that docudrama, I'd really recommend that too. I believe it will be on iPlayer, as will every other single Doctor Who episode, other than those four. So you'll be able to catch up on all of the Doctor Who delights over Christmas and the New Year. And on that note, we should probably get on with some music. So what do we have lined up for our first song?
Oh, well, our first song, it may as well play the 2023 version of the Doctor Who theme.
Once upon a time,
Cinderella,
the most magical fairy tale of them all.
You will never go to the ball.
A girl who dares to dream.
On the stroke of midnight, the spell will be broken and everything will be as it was before.
Goodbye, my prince.
Wait, I don't even know your name.
We're back at the Towngate Theatre, Basildon, with Cinderella. There's magic, flying horses, and dreams that really do come true. From November to the 2nd of January. Book now at towngatetheatre.co.uk.
EV Charging Systems, your local, independent and experienced specialist home and workplace charge point suppliers and installers. With over 1,000 installations throughout Essex and East London and a 5-star excellent Trustpilot rating, we provide great personal service and are committed to help Essex drivers go green. Visit www.evchargingsystems.co.uk or call us on 01268 710 459. Install, charge and go with EV Charging Systems.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery.
Despite the fact that she's been around since the 90s in the legendary Footballers' Wives, Hannah Waddingham has really only come into her own in the last few years, and that was the most wonderful time of the year. And that was from her brand new Apple TV special, Home for Christmas, which is now available to watch. But yeah, Hannah, what an interesting story. As I said, this lady's been kicking around for all these years, and then she ends up being cast in Ted Lasso and has become like the UK's greatest export over the last few years.
Yeah.
Everything from Eurovision to even she appeared at the, you know, the thing where they all go and talk about the climate. She was
the host.
The climate summit. Yeah. And then a few weeks ago, she was at the Moonshot event in Singapore.
Wow.
So she's literally everywhere. And I think, you know, the ability of both being quite down to earth, normal, realistic, and knowing a multitude of languages serves her well.
Oh, so she's a linguist as well.
She is.
I didn't realise that. I just thought that she just had an amazing singing voice and was very nice.
Yep.
But yeah, good honour. I really like Hannah Waddington.
It's not very often you get into your 50s and suddenly people turn around and go, oh, actually, you're like a rare gem. I mean, you think about the people that that's happened to. Helen Mirren and... can't think of her name. She plays M in the James Bond films.
Right, yeah, I know who you mean.
But yeah, Dame.
I mean, it's one of those castings where you just think, actually, why hasn't she been doing this stuff? I remember thinking that with Eurovision. Yeah, she's a great hostess. Why hasn't she been doing this for years and years and years? And, you know, she is very relatable as well, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
But talking of international... what did you say? Exports?
Yes.
International exports. Let's talk a little bit about the national and international culture news this week. So I've been having a look around to see what's on. And obviously there has been the autumn statement this week from the government. So this is the statement that tells you what things are going to have money spent on them this year. And there's a couple of things that will tantalise those who... want art and culture to succeed. So firstly, 2.1 million for the British Film Commission and the British Film Institute Certification Unit. So that's some good news for film. There's also 500k has been put aside for the Hay Festival. Some more good news. This one's a bit boring, but there's changes to the R&D tax credit scheme and boosting for visual effects tax incentives. So if you are doing visual effects, that's good for you as well. And regarding our conversation between me and Claire last week about AI and how the UK really wants to be the place in the world for AI, there's 960 million that's been put aside for climate tech founders and 500 million more for supercomputing and a review into compute for AI and a 3 million fellowship program to develop a new generation of tech venture investors. So again, huge amounts of money are being put into the tech industry to support AI and the UK leading on some of those things.
So it's quite interesting, the AI conversation, because this week Insta360 released their brand new camera. And part of the camera is that it has AI abilities in it. And that is includes a number of things in the fact that it will edit your footage together. So if you've been out and shot video, it will edit your footage together for you, but only the things that it figures will be of interest to people. So it will monitor all your footage and edit it all together for you, and it will even color grade your footage for you.
Wow.
And if you are that way inclined, you can turn around and say, well, actually, I don't want to appear in my videos as me. I want to appear as a leopard in a fur coat. You know, maybe a red fur coat.
Obviously. You don't want
to. As opposed to a leopard fur coat.
Yeah, and, or a leopard in a tiger fur coat. That
it will replace
sense.
You with an anime image of a leopard in a red fur coat.
Ah, that's quite fun.
Yeah.
But so, also quite daunting if you are a professional filmmaker and you have spent your whole life and career colour grading.
Absolutely. But colour grading is it's a talent, but it's a talent that is sorely misunderstood and not very well explained throughout the industry. So anything that simplifies the colour grading process is always good. Let's get back onto your art news. Not as good news in accessing art. The number of UK-based arts and humanities students studying for PhDs funded by the AHRC has nearly halved in the last 4 years.
Boo.
Art imports to the UK in 2022 were 2.8 billion, less than half their level in 2015, the year before we exited the EU. But in better news, the UK art market directly supported 45,520 jobs, 7,800 businesses in 2023, according to the British Art Market Federation annual report.
That is a very high number. I was quite surprised, actually, by that fact about art imports dropping because of the exiting of the EU. I didn't realise how much import-export there was in creative endeavours. But I have heard that Creative Europe is being re-entered by the UK, and that might change things there, because I think it's more about membership of some of those creative activities rather than the general membership. So hopefully that can be regained. What is happening outside the UK? So Frieze is to sponsor the British Pavilion at the next Venice Biennale. Which is quite exciting. Frieze obviously have their big festival every year, so it kind of makes sense. Usually you have people like BP and other big companies, Unilever, etc., sponsoring the Biennale. So it's quite interesting that Frieze, the magazine, is instead. Very cool.
Cool. In design, M&S has received High Court approval to challenge the government's decision to block the redevelopment of their Marble Arch store. Gary Partners has completed a massive extension of Warner Brothers' base in Burbank, styled like icebergs.
That's quite exciting.
And in theatre and dance, director Sam Mendes' Theatre Artists Fund is to roll out a 1.5 million two-year pilot programme to support mid-career theatre professionals. And congratulations to Rhiannon Faith Studios, New Arts Council MPO, who opened their contemporary dance performance Let Down Your Burdens at the Barbican this week.
I put that Rhiannon Faith comment in, because actually Rhiannon Faith used to be very big in Romford, so a lot of her starting up her studios was in Romford, and she used to work in Chadwell Heath as well, so she's a local girl. And yeah, she's just going from strength to strength, so congratulations to Rhiannon, she's doing really well. In museums, the British Library is still being held to ransom. So that's not such great news. So they experienced a huge cyber attack over a month ago, and they're still trying to get out of this ransom situation. I don't know any more details of that, but I'm sure you'll be able to find them online, dependent on your capacity of researching online. Hopefully you're not one of the hackers hacking the British Library. And finally, Harper's Bazaar has listed its big bumper list of annual Christmas pop-ups and events for the most fashionable among us. So if you're interested in finding all of the best Christmassy things to see and do, if you are of the elite fashionistas, then jump over to the Harper's Bazaar website and have a look to see what's on there.
Cool. Let's have some more music, shall we?
Yes.
So we have two tunes from two great John Hughes movies now. Firstly, Mele Kalikimaka by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, which obviously was sung much before the film came out, but features in the film National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and John Williams with the theme from Home Alone. We'll be having some more Home Alone music later on to close out the show. But yeah, this is the John Williams themes that we'll be playing right at the start. John Hughes, if you're unaware, he was like an absolute mastermind of 80s and 90s cinema. He was really in tune with the youth of the time. And Christmas is the perfect time for any Hughes films, which also included Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Some Kind of Wonderful, Pretty in Pink, Curly Sue, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, to name but a few.
You love that film.
Oh. Kalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
Hello. Just sorting out some technical issues before we get into the Home Alone theme. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on to, very briefly, onto the next section, which we had planned. Feel free to interject when you have time, Natalie. One of our big favorite things to do this time of year to really help us feel the Christmas love is actually to take a trip out of the UK to a European city of our choosing. And we love to go to cities that have sort of like some sort of strong Christmas vibe. So, but the thing being is that automatically when you start thinking about places to go internationally, you start thinking about the costs. But actually, a lot of these places, it's a lot cheaper for you to go than it would be to take a trip to London for the day, for example.
Yeah, I'd definitely say it's cheaper to go abroad than to go somewhere like Manchester for the weekend.
We definitely know that. A couple of years ago, my cousin turned 60, didn't he? Oh, actually, yeah. It was this year. He turned 60. And it worked out that in order for us to go and visit him in Manchester, it was going to cost us £800. And that wasn't doing anything fancy whatsoever. That wasn't staying in a posh hotel. But at the same period of time, I believe that we could have gone somewhere for about £450 for a whole week. So, and I think, if I'm honest, I think we probably did that instead. But anyway, getting back onto some of these Christmas retreats. So the places that we are suggesting to you, you can pretty much get a return flight for £49 per person. And that's in the current climate. and hotel accommodation from as little as £60 per night. That's £60 per room, not per person. So the first place we're going to have a look at is Copenhagen in Denmark. And Copenhagen has a couple of Christmas markets that are scattered all around the waterfront. And there's lots of, there's a real like true Christmas spirit there, where you have a mixture of woolen goods and lots of snacks, lots of mulled wines, mulled ciders. I've become some sort of mulled cider obsessive after
they,
a trip.
They also sell a selection of mead as well.
Yes.
If you go to, I can't remember what it's called, it's like Yule Market, and which is like just off the main square. They religiously have a mead place where the people working there will happily let you taste literally every mead they have, so you get drunk enough to buy lots of mead. I've been there probably like 3 or 4 times and the same thing has happened, where they're just trying to plough you to drink this mead and get drunk.
Natalie needs no help when it comes to mead.
No.
If you really want to immerse yourself in Christmas spirit,
mead
though,
is you plan to go on. No? No, anyway, carry on.
That was a terrible, that was a dad joke and a half, that
I
was.
I know, well, you know, we're having technical difficulties. I'm trying to respond to it in the way I know how.
Which is basically switch it off, kick it, and turn it back on again.
Pretty much.
So, but yes, so, but the wonderful thing about Copenhagen and is Tivoli, which is a theme park that's opened all year round, but during the winter months gets a truly epic Christmas feel. Whether you want to go on rides, visit and see the fish in the giant aquarium, see a show or shop market stalls, or even visit the amusement arcade, a trip to Tivoli is like nothing you will experience. It's very much like looking at one of these Channel 5 afternoon Christmas movies in real life. You know, they have the huts, they have the snow, even if it's not really snowing, and they normally have some sort of immense Swarovski crystal tree as a centerpiece. It's a truly amazing experience to visit Tivoli, which is only equaled in my opinion by another theme park in another country, and that's Liseberg,
which we'll talk about later. I think we can play some music now, so let's have a little interlude with Somewhere in My Memory, which we were planning to play a little while ago.
Thank you.
very lovely song, isn't it?
I really enjoy that. It's really nice. It really, I don't know, it gives you a nice warm feeling inside. So, having departed the wonder of Copenhagen, I mean, there's lots of other things to see in Copenhagen, which we didn't touch upon, but for Christmas feels, I think we pretty much got it. Gothenburg, or I think it's pronounced Göteborg. In Swedish, that has another wonderful experience for you if you're looking for a Christmas retreat. It has a number of cobbled streets that have craft markets and traditional Swedish shops that look very, very classic, almost Victorian in their style, which is amazing. I remember that place that you took us probably on our last day when we were looking for sweets. And as you do when you're looking around Gothenburg for sweets. But yeah, it's amazing what Gothenburg has to offer in terms of that whole Christmas feel. It's in amongst all of that, of course, you do have their equivalent of Tivoli, which is Liseberg. How do you pronounce it?
Liseberg.
Which is like Tivoli, but I would say probably a little tiny bit bigger. And all kind of, it focuses around like a very large hill, whereas Tivoli is more flat, isn't it? Everything sort of focuses around this hill, which yeah. has this massive...
I'd definitely say the roller coasters are a lot bigger there, aren't they, at Liseberg? It's very much set up to be a theme park and all of the jazz that goes with it, whereas Tivoli in Copenhagen is more of this kind of old... Was it Victorian style kind yeah. of park that you would go to, and then there'd be kind of some thematic adventures that you could go. So I think they both started the same way, but Liseberg has just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it is like a main attraction in Gothenburg as well, isn't it?
It's truly incredible. It's a really wonderful thing to go and see, especially if you've got young families. And as I said, if you're looking for something to do on the build up to Christmas, you know, just 2 days. You know, just go out on the Friday night, maybe, and come back on the Sunday lunchtime. It's going to cost you a couple of hundred quid for a family of four to go and experience this. So it's, you know, I appreciate we're talking cost of living, but it's a good experience to have. Outside of Liseberg, you also have access in Gothenburg to the Swedish archipelago, and that's where you can take a cruise around a number of Swedish islands and experience Christmas the way that islanders experience Christmas. And last year we took a trip out to Vrango, and we went out into the middle of the woodland there, and they'd made up a Christmas tree out in the middle of nowhere, which really kind of amused us and took us back. Right in the middle of a woodland was this beautifully laid out Christmas tree. Wonderful experience. So highly recommend that. Shall I move on to more, or are we going to have some more music?
Yeah, let's go on to the next one.
Okay, so the next one we have for you is Bergen in Norway. You're almost 100% likely to encounter snow if you visit for Bergen from the 10th of December onwards. This sea-facing city is the gateway to the fjords. And during Christmas... they have the world's largest gingerbread city. And this is made up by residents of Bergen who all basically contribute a house that is installed in this massive building. And in amongst that, they install things like aeroplanes that fly over. They have cars that are on some sort of remote control circuit. Lights that go on and off in amongst the gingerbread houses. And, of course, the smell of all that gingerbread. That is open until the 24th of December. And also in Bergen, They have their famous Christmas market, which includes a fun fair with a giant Ferris wheel. And then you can take a walk along Briggan, which is the old style fishing community, which is all wooden houses, all brightly painted. But in amongst all these little vintage looking things, you've got like a Radisson Blue or a nightclub or a Levi that have taken up shop space but kept the facades traditional in its style. They also have a really famous really famous museum. And during the Christmas period, this museum, which consists of about 50 buildings, turns into an 1880s Christmas street. So you can go there and you can get there's acts that are played out by people in Norwegian garb of the 1880s, and you
Norwegian garb,
and you can get things like chestnuts there and mulled wine. But rather than just getting your chestnuts and mulled wine, you have to become part of this immersive experience. You might even be persuaded to set up shop while you're there. They've got a number of shops that are set up with traditional products of different time periods through to about the 1940s. So that's a really cool experience. Get involved in something a little bit out of this world. The only thing being is, I should point out, they do speak Norwegian and not English. Yeah. So that is Bergen. Oh, and also should add that all three of these places have amazing aquariums that you can access. We've discussed so far. There's a beautiful aquarium.
In Bergen as well.
In Bergen. There is an amazing aquarium there. And you can have a face-to-face meeting with a clappy sea lion.
And that's all you want, really, isn't it?
I mean, if you want to meet a sea lion, you want one that claps, don't you?
Yeah, and it needs to be happy to see you. Right, let's have some more music. We're going to listen to Annie Lennox and Al Green, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. Why are we listening to this song? What film is that attached to?
So this is, as if you don't know, this is from the film Scrooged, which is personally my favourite Christmas film. I think, it, despite being slightly cringy in its retelling of A Christmas Carol, it makes for perfect, timeless Christmas viewing. It's very non-offensive, and this is a truly beautiful Christmas song.
You know where it's also from? The Flash musical special. Let's have a listen.
I have nothing else to say.